Welcome to today's episode of Raider On Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
I'm always reticent to talk about when I was a pastor because when I was a pastor was so long ago, but I can approach this from a historical perspective. When I was a pastor, I noticed something that was taking place. What was taking place was we would have these information or guest cards, and the rate of return of the guest filling them out, completing them, and our getting them began to diminish. And so I tried different approaches, and some worked and some did not. But over the years, other pastors have told me it's the same thing with them. They're having trouble getting guests to either complete them and not only complete them, but to turn them in. And so I've been looking at best practices, Jonathan, in different churches and what's working, and also looking at some of the things we're doing to get people to respond to us as well. And I think that we've come up with probably, when it's all said and done, a pretty good approach to get guests to complete cards and turn them in so that you may make contact later.
And before we get into the information about the secret to get guests to complete their info cards, we're going to talk about our sponsor, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. We'd like to thank them. They're a dynamic community of learners who are serious about ministry preparation, biblical studies, theological reflection, and cultural engagement. Their faculty are gifted men and women who minister as much through research and writing as they do through local church involvement, but their primary ministry is teaching and caring for students. You can find out more about TEDS at divinity.tiu.edu.
And before we get off the Trinity sponsorship, you know my connection there, don't you?
Yes, David Dockery.
David Dockery. And I gave you an offline comment or discussion yesterday about how far back David and I go. He was responsible when he worked for B&H back in the days. It was Broadman and Holman at the Baptist Sunday School Board back in those days. He was responsible for allowing me to publish my first solo book called The Book of Church Growth. And ever since then, well, even before that, I took him to a fancy restaurant when I first got to know him.
Yeah, like Waffle House?
No, Morrison's.
Oh, okay.
Morrison's.
That's right. We talked about that.
He had three boys. I had three boys. I said, I didn't have any money, so I saved up my money and took him, Lanise, his wife, his three sons, and my three sons, and Nellie Joe. That was a lot of people. And so I looked at the most expensive restaurant I could afford, and it was Morrison's Cafeteria. And he still remembers that to this day. So glad to have him as a sponsor. The relationship goes way back. But back to guest cards.
Yes, guest cards. We're going to talk about that today. We got 9 points here to discuss the, like you said, not only the secret to getting them to fill them out,
right,
but to turn them in.
It right.
Doesn't do any good if they fill them out and keep them.
And let's ask this question, and it's not rhetorical. It may be that I answer my own question, but we'll talk about it. Why do you even want guest cards completed? Well, you want guest cards completed, so if they want some kind of follow-up, you're able to follow up, because you can't follow up if you don't know who they are. Just simple as that.
The key to church growth a lot of times is just simply getting those guests to stick.
Yeah.
And if they're coming and you don't know who they are and you don't know how to contact them and get them involved in what you're doing at the local church, then they're not going to stick, and you're going to have just a revolving door of guests. We've talked to several pastors who say that the key for them to for their church growing is all started with guest retention.
Guest retention. And here's another thing. Again, a non-rhetorical question that I may take the opportunity to answer. I like interviewing me so I can respond to me. Let me rephrase this. What attendance level is this most important? Really, anything 150 and above, because if you are at 150 or lower, the opportunity to get to know the guest, go up and speak to them in the worship service is pretty high. But even with the smaller churches, I would rather have a guest card so that I can have some information on them to follow up in another way other than just the personal contact. So the overall answer is the ideal size for guest cards is somewhere between zero and infinity.
Okay. So that's a broad range, but I think most churches fit in there.
There we go.
Okay, number one, there needs to be time to complete the card.
Yeah, you don't need to have a worship service that is so filled and so busy that you say, oh, we got a card to fill out. But there's never any time for them to fill it out because they're singing, because the preaching is going on. And, you don't want to encourage them to fill out the card during the preaching. You want them to complete the card by the time the offertory plate comes around to put it in there.
Yeah.
Probably have a box somewhere as well to put the card in as an alternative, probably have greeters to take it up, just all different kinds of options. But it would be good if you would take one and a half minutes just to say, fill out the card during this time. And there are ways to do that, such as something about the church, some ministry about the church, this being played as a video. During that time, we're going to ask everybody, and we'll get to the everybody in just a minute, to complete a guest card.
And also, you know, we'll talk about this in number nine, is you don't have to take it up during the service. It can be something that, you know, you've mentioned that you could give it to an usher or something. You could have a guest welcome center out in the lobby that you turn it into. But we'll talk about more of that as we go on.
I like this alternative. If you know there's a guest there, you do not allow them to leave. You have bodyguards that hold them back that so they cannot leave if you don't get a guest card from them.
I don't think that idea would work.
Okay. Well, it was just a, it's just an idea. I think it would work. I just don't think it would work long term.
No, it would work once.
It worked once, and last time I checked, kidnapping was against the law.
Well, it didn't stop Van.
There you go. That's another story another for the story. Listeners at another time.
Okay. All right. Number two is guests fear the visit and the motive behind the card.
Things have changed. Things have changed dramatically. Now, we got Amy J here. We got you here. And I'm here. Amy T is missing today. She's got some other things.
Actual work to do today.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. This podcast is actual work. Okay. So we got three people in this room. Amy cannot be heard. Amy, do you like cold call visits from people? Okay, she said absolutely not. Jonathan, at your house, you and Beth? Absolutely not. So we got 230-something people who are saying absolutely not. Gen X, old bridge, you're an old millennial, aren't you?
I'm a millennial.
I almost called you a...
I'm not an old millennial, I'm a millennial.
Okay. You are the oldest millennial.
That'll work.
And neither one... So we have Boomer, Gen X, and Millennial represented here, and none of us want a cold call visit.
You don't like cold call visits at your house?
Oh, come on.
Do they allow that in your neighborhood?
Well, there's a no solicitation sign, but it doesn't stop people.
Yeah, same here.
I don't live in a gated community. I don't carry a gun, and one of the reasons is I probably would be too threatening if someone showed up at the door unannounced. Oh my goodness, somebody did recently, and it was just bad timing. And I don't even remember what the poor guy wanted, and I just said, look in my eyes, this is a bad time. So, you know, I probably wasn't very Christ-like for him. So I'm sorry.
Well, he was probably selling a magazine subscription.
On behalf of all introverts, I'm sorry.
He was probably selling a Kirby or something like that, so he probably deserved it. But you're right. The guests fear the visit, and they fear the motive behind it. They think that a lot of times that churches are going to hound them because they've probably been to churches that have done it.
That have hounded them, and they're thinking, what does he really want? He wants his numbers to increase.
Want our money.
Want our money. And so they're just wondering what is going on. They're going to give me the hard sell. They're probably going to say some things about what a bad person I am and my belief system. So guests oftentimes fear a visit. But last time I checked, I'm a Christian, and I hope next time I check, I'll still be a Christian. And I don't fear a visit because someone's going to test my faith. I fear a visit just because I don't like cold call visits. I don't like chit-chat. And I don't like people to show up at unexpected times. The times have changed. In my first church, that was not the case in the 80s. By the time the 90s came around, dramatic difference in almost all communities.
And if you still have church visitation, we're not saying that you don't need to have it.
That's right.
Don't cold call people.
Well, in most communities, there's a small number of communities, and we'll hear from people on that. In my community, they like for you just to drop by. That is becoming a very small exception to the rule, but it is still there. But most of them, you need to call ahead. And by the time the 90s rolled around, I was doing that for all of my visits. I'd call and make sure I had an appointment. And then by the time the 2000s came along and I was no longer pastoring a church, but I was interim pastor, anytime I would go visit someone, to be during the daytime instead of nighttime, like a lunchtime visit.
All right. Number three is that phone information is held most closely by guests.
The guests don't want to give their phone information. Because that's almost like once given, always available.
It's kind of the lifeline there.
Yeah, and I can get a call from you 4 or 5 years from now. I'll give you an example. Not too long ago, I got a telephone call on my cell phone from someone who wanted to publish a book.
Okay. And it's probably not abnormal.
But it was from someone I did not know that I had spoken, and he was the host 5 years ago. And he held on to my phone number, and 5 years later calls me and says,
Out of the blue.
Didn't remember his name. He said, you spoke here, and we had your cell phone number because we needed to get in touch with you. And so he wanted to pop. So, you know, I'm just reticent to give out my telephone number.
So when's the book come out?
It's probably another publisher. Won't be us. So anybody is reticent. I mean, wouldn't you be reticent to give your phone number out to just anybody? Amy's shaking her head,
yes. I'd give him yours.
Yeah, you would. I'd make you handle the situation.
But it is the case, phone numbers, because we're with our phones all the time. I think it was the difference in the phone information, why it's become so prevalent and so closely held, is because we take our phones everywhere now.
Yep.
20 years ago, my phone was at the house.
Yep.
And I'm at work.
Connected to a wire.
You can call my house all day long. It's not going to bother me because I'm not there.
You have a landline?
No. I haven't had a landline since 2005.
I have a landline. And one of the reasons I have a landline is
because
I have such terrible cell phone reception.
Oh, that's right.
I tell people to call on my landline.
Well, you also have a security system, and I think they require that.
They require a landline. There's another reason for that. But we could get around that. But the primary reason is I don't know why. I have bad cell phone connections. But anybody can call my home number anytime they want to. They'll never get me.
And Nellie Joe didn't even answer it because I was at your house the other day, and it rang, and Nellie Joe just let it ring.
Yep, we do not answer that phone. There's a voicemail, and if it's someone that we think we should call, I know this is such a detour.
Okay,
we have not had our house exterminated. The bug guy come by in 3 months.
Okay,
supposed to be monthly.
Uh-huh.
He refuses to call her on the cell phone. He calls on the landline, even though we've told him, Corey, you've got to call on the cell phone. He keeps calling the landline. Got 6 voicemails from him yesterday.
Okay.
Nope.
You're not going to call him back because he won't call the right
line? We've told him.
Okay.
We've told him.
All right. Well,
I know.
I know Corey's a big listener to the pod, so.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Listen to this while he sprays for bugs.
That's right.
So, anyway, Corey, call the cell man.
Nellie Joe's.
Yeah, Nellie Joe's. I got hers too, Corey. If you want to get in touch with me, I'll help you out. Number 4, most churches overcomplicate the guest cards.
We've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
They look like a 2-hour survey. And if a guest looks at that card and it has, even if it says optional, 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 it is intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make a recommendation. And
that tells us number 5.
And that's going to tell us number 5. And some people are going to be blown away with my recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Request at a minimum, first name and email.
Yep. Less is more.
Less is more. That's point number 5. Request first name and email.
Because what you're doing there is you're bringing the barrier down for the guest.
Right.
And they're more likely to turn it in because it only took me 30 seconds.
30
to fill
seconds.
Out, if that.
If that. Yeah. Just no time at all. So let's go through a pretend scenario for just a minute, Jonathan.
All right.
I'm either the pastor or whatever person is welcoming people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it'll go something like this. Want to welcome you to First Community Church. We know we have several guests and members here. We're going to ask everybody to get your card out.
Yeah, this is your information card.
Information card. That's the best thing to call it. Everybody, get it out. And we're just going to say, if you need to put a prayer request down, there's a place at the bottom.
That's point number 7. We're getting to that.
That is optional. And then all our guests, all we want from you is your first name and your email. Not because we're going to bug you a lot. We'll email you one time to see if we can help you in any way, and you can let us know at that point, and that's all we're going to do.
Boom. Not going to subscribe you to our email list.
Nope.
Unless you ask us to.
Nope. That's exactly right. And in the future, Jonathan, I've already started working on this. In the future, I am going to have a resource that actually goes through a sequence of what you should do if they respond affirmatively in different ways to the first email.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that. That's another subject for another day.
Yeah.
First name and email only. People say, oh, we'll never get to know them. Well, you'll never get to know them if they don't turn in anything.
Because what you can do then is point number 6, use a digital registration for guests if possible.
Yeah, if at all possible.
Email them, say, hey, we'd love to know more about you. If you have some time, fill out this digital form. And then you've got all their information. It's easy for them. They can do it on their own time frame and everything.
All right, I'm going to tell you just a little bit of preview of this resource for the future. The first one should say, we know your time is valuable. We don't want to interfere with anything if you don't want us to. Would you like some additional information? Instead of fill out the following. Mm-hmm. So you put the ball in their court.
The wording.
Yes. So again, this is a sequence where guests feel less and less intimidated and more likely to fill out the guest card.
Yeah.
If churches do this, the return rate will be super.
Yep. And also, number six, the digital registration. This is something that you can have on your website prior to the guest coming.
Yeah.
This is something we started at our church recently, and it was my idea. I gave it to Beth because she listens to like one idea a year from me. But
wait a minute. This was your idea. You gave it to Beth, who is on staff, and she's giving it to the church, and the church is running with it.
Yes, it is. Because what it allows parents to do, this is key for her, because she's got guests coming in, maybe they have two or three kids, or like me, they got four. Mm-hmm. In the children's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to stand there and fill out four guest information cards for my kids when I'm trying to drop them off, because we take security very serious. We have a computerized check-in system, lock down the doors and the hallways and everything. So there's a high level of security over there. So it allows guests prior to coming to church, because a lot of times if you have parents, you're checking out the church beforehand. And if on the church website, click and let us know you're coming. We have all their stuff ready to go. They walk in. Here's your tag. Well, let's show you to your classrooms.
Wow.
It's an easier transition for the kids, for the parents. They're not standing in the lobby filling out a card for 10 to 15 minutes or anything like that. So it makes it a lot easier for guests to come straight in, straight to drop off their kids and make it into the sanctuary for the service or into Sunday school.
Very good. Very good.
So the digital registration, and then she's got all the information. She can follow up with them. If there's allergies, the teachers know about it beforehand. Everything. I mean, it just makes it so much easier.
You know, sometimes I think I know you. Do you have any allergies?
I do not.
You don't? Amy J., you have any allergies?
You?
Yeah.
People?
No, that doesn't cause me to sneeze. It just causes me to withdraw from life. Penicillin.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Did not know that.
Yeah.
To file that one away.
Yeah. Just if you see me pass out, I don't guess they'll be giving me penicillin if I pass out.
Probably not.
But
that's
just
usually for infections,
you know,
or something.
If I have a wound and I pass out, tell them not
no penicillin.
No penicillin. Okay. If we're on the road.
Right? All right. Okay. I'll file that one away. All right. This podcast is going all over the place today. All right. We mentioned this earlier. Have a place on your information card for prayer requests.
Yeah. And you just put optional on there. To me, the best registration card is first name, email, and then optional prayer request.
Yep.
That's it.
Very simple.
You don't need all these checklists for, I want information on children's ministry. You know, all those things are going to distract from it, and people are going to be less likely to turn it in.
And that allows you, number eight, don't make guests stand out, because everybody's filling out the card.
Yep.
And everybody's doing it. So it's the barrier again is lowered.
So what are we know what the guests are doing. We hope that what the guests are doing. They're putting their first name and the email address. What are the members doing, John?
Putting their first name and email address in their prayer request.
Yeah, if they have a prayer request. So everybody's doing something. And that's all there is to it. And that's the digital world that we live in these days. By the way, in this whole world of email marketing, which is this is not, by the way, the best responses are those who do first name only and email instead of first and last name and other information.
All this stuff.
Less likely to do it. First name only.
Yeah. And then number nine, consider offering a small gift in return for the card. Now, this could be in return for the card or the we talked earlier, the digital registration that they can fill out more later. It could be a book. It could be a gift card. It could be, you know, a coffee mug, whatever.
Yeah, I went to speak. I don't think you went to with me, Jeremy Roberts' church.
Yes.
Church of the Highlands. Mm-hmm. Jeremy's a faithful listener. So,
yep. Hey, Jeremy.
My guess is he's right here with us right now. And they just had this great table of stuff. And it was there was their mug, Church of the Highlands mug. And if I recall, it's... I remember their website address because it's I almost do like Church of the Highlands, highlandschurch.cc.
Yeah, highlands.cc, I think.
And I remember that they had he said, here, have a guest thing, and it had pens and some candy or it's just really kind of
more information
neat.
About the church.
Yeah, more information.
And again, if you're just asking for that one little card, you can have a more detailed card that they can fill out in the bag.
Yeah, and it's optional, and it's in the bag or it's in the cup, and so they don't feel intimidated that they have to fill out something.
Yeah.
So it works very, very well. So this all comes back to this issue, less is more, and less is better. So,
what kind of results can a church expect and guest retention and guest information if they lower these barriers?
This is going to be anecdotal. Never have done the study, okay? So this is really flying by the seat of my pants, but I will do some conjecture. If you have a complicated guest card, I'm going to say that the return rate is going to be between 1 in 5 and 1 in 10.
Okay.
So 10.
So maybe you have 5 families a week that are new, and you may get one back.
You may get one back. If you have this simple form, I'm going to speculate it's going to be 50 to 75%.
Yeah, 3 or 4, maybe.
Yes. It's significantly higher. We know the barriers are lowered. We know that because we've seen this behavior mm-hmm. in other churches. We've seen this behavior in other instances where people are asking yeah. for information. So we know the barriers are lower. Here's the thing about it. I see very few churches doing this, but when they do it, boom, the results yeah. are much, much better.
And again, we'll talk about, we mentioned the digital resource earlier. It's not just about this. This is basically just the starting point.
Right.
You still have to have an effective guest assimilation and follow-up program.
This is just getting the information. Yeah. Just getting.
But again, you can't do that unless you know who they are.
Exactly.
So if you're a church out there and you've got an overcomplicated card and you're thinking about switching and you're going to say, hey, you know, why don't we get a coffee mug, or we have coffee mugs or whatever it may be, a book. You know, you can get I'm a Church Member.
Oh,
or I Will. $5 yeah. each at, you know, you buy the case lot. You can get them really cheap and give
yeah,
those away.
Yeah, buy them at TomRainer.com.
Yeah, just go to TomRainer.com. You can find all the information. But anyway, you can use those, give those away, and let us know what the change is.
Yeah.
And if you can go back and say, all right, you know, we had in this 6 months prior, we had 4 Sundays, we had 10 guest cards turned in, we changed everything, and we had 25 guest cards turned in.
That'd be huge.
And we didn't really change in attendance that much. Let us know. We may send you a book or two.
There you go.
So
let us hear from you. I'd love to hear if some churches are already doing it yeah. as well, and what their experience mm-hmm. has been with a very simplified yeah. guest card.
So if you've done this and you've got examples and results, send me an email, jonathan.howe@lifeway.com. It's jonathan.howe@lifeway.com. And we'll send you a book to show our appreciation for giving us some information on that.
So. Sounds great. Sounds great.
All right. Vander Blumen Search Group, they are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Vander Blumen now has an incredible podcast. They started yeah. out with a boom.
They got a new website, new podcasters, all kind of stuff.
They're cooking.
Now.
They're yeah, absolutely.
It's not just church search, man. They
got
everything.
And it's been great to hear about the number of people now who are hearing about Vander Blumen mm-hmm. through this podcast.
Yep.
So we're glad to partner with them. Okay, wrapping it up, keep it simple. Keep it basic. Keep it in a way that guests don't have barriers, and you're going to see your guest return cards much more frequently. We almost guarantee it.
Thanks for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at TomRainer.com.